This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection. I know you're going to really be delighted by this show. This is going to be some really interesting information. I know a lot of these things you will have thought about before, but there's some new ways that we're going to be talking about some things about making your life more harmonious and more peaceful with dogs. And I am going to be talking with Jesse Sternberg, and he is the author of Enlightened Dog Training, which is a book I've been devouring. I got lots of highlights all through the book. It's really a delightful book that I totally recommend. And as fans of the Human-Animal Connection, you're going to recognize some of the concepts are very similar, and in some important ways, some differences. So we're going to explore that, because as continuous learners, we always want to find out, is there something new that we can use? So Jesse, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for that introduction, and yeah. My pleasure. This is going to be fun.
Definitely going to be fun. Now, I know you've been in this business with working with dogs for a couple of decades, three decades. You started out in doggy daycare, and I think you learned a lot by all the dogs that wanted to come and be with you. And you learned what it's like to have not only a little pack, but a very big pack.
Yeah. And to be responsible for them in a different way than just being with them adds a whole other level of insight, communication, dog training, psychology.
Well, we're really interested in peaceful approaches to working with dogs. I know that's something that you've really perfected and developed and, you know, had to work with in an environment when you have a whole bunch of dogs in your space that you're responsible for. And we're also very interested in the ways that pack energy affects dogs. So what are some of your thoughts about the pros and cons of dogs together in a space?
Well, the pros are the vibe is amazing.
Yeah.
when they feel safe and when they feel protected, mm-hmm. then the peacefulness begins.
And that is so great.
There needs to be a protector and a provider for them to have that switch that they flip on. So this sounds great, but who do you think they expect and want to have that role?
Well, that would be me.
Right. It's gotta be you. And so the caution here is everything I tell you, once you hear it, you're gonna go, okay, now I gotta go do that, because that's but we want to keep the peace, and this is the duality of it. We want to keep the peace, and there's two really easy ways to do that with dogs with a pack mentality that I discovered. One is to provide a territory protection. Mm-hmm. So I've never met a dog that didn't get excited or silly at the front door.
Right.
It's the same concept with the windows. It's the same concept with when somebody's coming home or going away. I kind of bucket all of this into territory.
Okay.
The territory ought to be respected. It mm-hmm. ought to be for the safety of our pack. It needs to be sheriffed and governed, which means whatever is outside, it's not exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Not scary.
Contrary to canine belief.
What usually happens, and because that's like a computer program that's going on in your dog's head, protect the territory, alert my master.
Right.
Well, what's happening is they've been making alerts for like the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been communicating words instead of with actions.
Mm-hmm. So not speaking their language. They're communicating in their doggy language world, and we're making the mistake of communicating the human world.
So we're confusing them with the wrong flavor of praise, a positive reinforcing. Okay. And they start to think that we like them barking, and we like them jumping up and, you know, scratching on us a little bit if they're excited. And so they actually think we like when they do that because we're too afraid of a confrontation with them.
Yeah, we don't want to fight.
But when they're that's the double-edged sword of everything.
And right.
That's why I have this idea of this character that they want us to be is the peaceful version of being the alpha.
Okay, so this is so wonderful because you've really reclaimed the word alpha, which has been kind of misused for a while by
thank you. I'm trying. That's my it's my modus operandi.
Yeah, you were reclaiming the word alpha. There's been some tremendous misunderstanding and some really bad practices under the guise of the understanding of alpha, which is really not correct. If we look at wolves, for example, you know, the alphaness, that's the most harmonious character in the pack, right? That is the eldest, the wisest, the smartest, the softest in a way, in the sense that this one is not going to waste energy on having a snarl over nothing. Energy is very valuable in the wild.
Way bigger fish to fry because he's got his eye on the territory and he's got his mind on the next meal and he's got his mind on the safety of every creature. And that level of consciousness is very similar to your domestic dog's consciousness.
Yes. And so that's what they're looking for from us. So when they're, you know, the Amazon person or whomever comes to the door and they go running, barking, lunging, you know, making a big display and we get all mad and all this other stuff, they think we're participating in that, you know, upsetness. Oh, something terrible is happening. We all have to make noise now.
Right. So my viewpoint of looking at that is, we're adding chaos to their chaos. And so as a leader, you're no respect. That's like a beta move.
Yeah.
The alpha move would be to offer some protection, offer some guidance, which usually just looks like, hey, the door's the hot zone. Move away from it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know that you got strong feelings, but sit it out. Breathe it up.
Okay. So we need to be in a peaceful state if we are going to expect them to be in a peaceful state.
Totally. They are going to reflect us.
So that's what they're looking to us for is some guidance.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah. Speaking of guidance.
Yeah.
little dog giving some guidance out there. Yeah. So somebody just arrived. The maintenance guy just got here. Yeah. So I think that's so fascinating that you are taking back the understanding of what true alpha nature is. It's not about being the biggest bully on the play yard. It's really about being the wisest, most protective in a harmonious way. So they're looking to us to take on some of this role, I guess, is what you're saying. So they can relax a little bit. They don't always have to be.
Exactly. That's exactly what it does, is it takes the edge that they have on them, assuming the role of protector, and not really in like the animal world, kingdom kind of world, but in like the human box created world. And their senses aren't set up to process it, and they need us on the team to play our role on the team.
Yeah. So we need to be a little better at the human natureness in order to help them have
It's just another level. Everybody's as good as they are going to be. Everyone's the best version of them that they're being. But this level of looking at it from the lens of, oh, I kind of get what my dog's thinking about. Mm-hmm. I kind of get that it's possible to, you know, oh, so alphas also set the rules.
Okay.
And they set the rules around what they're providing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the peaceful alpha provides provides the resource of the food, and it's really satisfying to work for food.
Yes.
It brings a sense of being proud.
Yes, excellent.
It's lazy to cut that corner. And we all do it, and I cut that corner too. Mm-hmm. But when I invest in that and I switch food time around into a 7-minute exercise where work is being done,
mm-hmm.
work meaning the dog is concentrating and I'm leading it.
Yes.
And I'm rewarding it for its decisions, not for its behaviors. I'm rewarding it for its decisions.
Right.
And I start to communicate to it like an alpha. So here's like, for the safety of our pack, I need you to stay here, and I'm going to run out to the mailbox, and I'm going to come back, but don't move. I'm not going to tie you up.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want to have that? Who has that, and who doesn't want to have that?
Right.
Similarly, all right. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
How about you come with me and we'll walk to the corner store?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go in and get the leash. Just stay with me. Okay, Dad. Boom. Like you're walking with a toddler. So there's that connection. And then when you get to the store, it's like, okay, you know that play we practice where you lie down and you don't move? Run the play. Boom.
Uh-huh.
Lie down.
Okay.
And so it's totally possible to enrich all of your moments of the day where you're connecting to your dog and just like really realizing that that's what they're craving from you.
Most
of these dogs, a border collie, a lab, a golden retriever, their job is to stay down and wait for you to tell them to go do something. And they're waiting at the most exciting times. So doing a little bit of this with your food and, you know, putting the food bowl on the ground and doing what I would call an alpha claim, which is where you just stand over top of it. And this is where the one time where you would stare at them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you were having a challenge. Hey, this is mine. This is ours, but it's not time to take it yet.
Okay.
What ends up happening is there's like a total honor code, and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. Okay. And it mm-hmm. stands up and it moves backwards, and then it sits down and lies down, and it, you know, it's being respectful.
Right.
But it's working. He's waiting. Mm-hmm. He's processing that desire. A lot of dogs can't handle any of their desires, any of their fears. They act them out by jumping, scratching, barking, not listening, being bad. So my approach here is, I know I'm going to have so much power of influence in the relationship with you that I'm still connected to you when you have strong feelings.
Okay.
And that's when I'm going to lead you.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's really wonderful. You have a sentence that I underlined in your book, and I'm going to tell you what it is, and we're going to take a little break, and you're going to explain it because I love it. You said, no dog thinks he's misbehaving. And I think that's a wonderful statement. We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want you to tell us all about that. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection podcast, where I'm speaking with Jesse Sternberg, and he is the author of Enlightened Dog Training, Become the peaceful alpha your dog needs and respects. And he's also going to tell us he's got a new workbook out. So he'll tell us about that at the end of our podcast here. So before we went on the break, we were talking about a wonderful sentence you have in your books that says, "No dog thinks he's misbehaving." And I think as humans, we are convinced that they know they're bad and that they know they're misbehaving. So what are your thoughts about that?
Okay, well, in the moment where we're convinced that they know they're bad, they're reacting to our mood. Mm-hmm. They're anticipating. And they can read the room. They can read the moment. Mm-hmm. But in the moment where they're, you know, in the hour before that, when you were out side doing whatever you were doing and your dog, your puppy was shredding the toilet paper roll and redecorating. Mm-hmm. He was just following his bliss. What was he doing wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. So from their point of view, the thing that drives you crazy was probably a lot of fun for them.
Well, exactly. That's the key. And so we have to be, when we are totally consistent in our responses, That's an individual thing, because it's not always going to be as cute as the puppy doing that. It could be more realistically, you're coming home from work and your dog is so excited to see you. You haven't put anything down and it's jumping up and scratching you, and it's adding stress to your stress instead of just a soft landing. Mm-hmm. So it's always like, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. He's missing you. Mm-hmm. He is coming towards you and he is saying, "Give me attention." Mm-hmm. And usually he's getting it.
Yeah.
So he's not doing anything wrong there. And so both situations is a step back moment. It's always alpha to be responding with the appropriate tempo, appropriate timing.
Ah, yeah.
If I'm catching myself not being in loving comedy land, like if I'm operating below that, because yeah, my responses are always going to be more patient and different there. If I'm crabby and I haven't had my coffee, very slow to respond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very slow and I'm more patient. I take more of an aloof standpoint. I'm not going to positively reinforce something.
Right. So a lot of people may not realize that they're positively reinforcing when the dog is jumping and barking and being kind of highly energized and you're responding in a harsh or intense way back. The dog thinks, okay, well, we're playing. It's working. I wanted attention. I'm getting it.
The premise under all of this is it's our actions that do the talking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's an alpha's actions that have the power so that when he speaks, he's already got they already have the merit from their actions, their wise, powerful actions up until mm-hmm. now. So mm-hmm. there's nothing to challenge. It's just, it makes sense. Okay, we'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have, you know, our latest rescue, he's a wonderful dog. He was living in a house with 12 dogs. He has passed his therapy dog test. His name is Harry. He's a wonderful guy, except when I leave the house. And when I leave the house, he decides that the garbage can is his. And we have one of those garbage cans that so supposedly dog proofs with the latch that the dog can't get in. And he's watched us wave our hand over it. So he waves his head over it, gets the garbage can open and turns it on his side and has his way with it.
So it sounds like he's not anxious that you're leaving. He's just an opportunity seeker. And he's clever. He just goes and takes it.
Yeah. And he just, you know, I think he has himself a royal good time, you know.
I love when dogs are like that. If I was a dog, I'd be like that too.
Yeah.
Like, you're gone.
You're gone.
I maybe clean it up for my master.
Yeah. Yeah. With what's that? The cat's the way the mice will play. So, yeah. Yeah. Wild. Yeah. Well, so yeah, we haven't been able to change that yet. Any tips on a dog who has a fun time with the garbage can when I'm gone?
Well, the obvious is that it is kind of fun for you also.
Not when I come home.
Not when you come home, but it's a mixed, like there's mixed on it. It's like when Bubba chews my remote control. Mm. When I'm gone and I'm on like my sixth remote control, Maybe because there's a little bit of grease from my thumb on it.
Oh.
Out, and it's a chew toy for him.
Uh-huh.
I come home and I find it funny. I don't tell him I find it funny, but
right.
It's like I do find it. It's like dogs are supposed to be your man's like friend, like they're
right.
Living with you, your companion. It's on me. I left it out after four times. I should figure out, put it in the drawer.
Right, right.
Okay, so.
We haven't figured out the garbage thing yet, so it's a work in progress. But Harry's a wonderful dog. He does great therapy work. He's wonderful with teenagers. He works with teenagers who are dealing with anxiety, and he just lays down with them and settles them down in 30 seconds. They go from, you know, a 9 to a 2.
So explain that to me just a little bit. Like when his job kicks in, he just walks up to them and lays down?
Yeah. I mean, he can sense, we have a circle, we sit in a circle, and he'll say hello to everyone, but he knows who needs him the most, and he will just lay down for them. And he's big and hairy, 70 pounds of fur, and he's irresistible. And they just, you know, just move into that state of just wanting to cuddle with him or pet him or move into his vibe. You know, his vibe takes over, which is so sweet and wonderful. And that's, of course, when the Amazon guy comes, it's a completely different dog.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So I do the similar thing, and I do it on social media. I'm not sure if your listeners know or if you know, but I have a huge guard dog. He's like 100 pounds, Dogo Argentino. He's pure white.
Wow.
He's 2 years old. I've been raising him since he was 7.5 weeks on social media.
Wow.
He looks like the LeBron James of pit bulls. He looks so big and strong.
Uh-huh.
People used to be terrified of him.
Mm.
But now he kind of lumbers and he's calm. And I can see a mile away when somebody is just kind of gazing at him.
Uh-huh.
I get my phone out and I slowly let Bubba meander up to that person. Before you know it, that person is just, feeding off the frequency, right?
Yes, yes.
And that's what I'm doing on social media, is taking up in that frequency.
Yes.
It's really cute.
It's adorable. Really cute. I know. Well, yeah. And that's one of the things that we help the kids understand, is that all these feelings that they have, all these emotions, these are just energy states. And we teach them how to recognize it in the dogs and give them a number. What is Harry right now? Is he a 4? Is he a 6? And, you know, within one lesson, they are like within one point of accuracy. You know, almost all kids will, within 1 or 2 points, they'll agree on the numbers. And then we help them understand they can do that with their own emotions. They can. And so let's say, for example, Harry's a 6 or Sophia was my little rescue. She was a 25 pounds little chihuahua. She was a feral dog. She used to scare grown men when I first got her, and they would come to the house like maintenance workers or whatever. I'd have to have her strapped to my waist or they wouldn't come in. And now she's a therapy dog. She's wonderful. And so we'll ask them, you know, well, what is Sophia right now? And they'll say, well, she's a 5. Okay, what are you? And they say, well, I'm a 5. Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay, so let's see what happens. We'll do one of our little meditation techniques, one of our calming techniques that we do in less than 30 seconds. And then we say, what's Sophia now? And she said, well, she's a 3. Oh, interesting. What are you? I'm a 3. And so they begin to see the connection between our emotional state and the dog's emotional state. And also just the realization that they're not at the mercy of that emotional state, that they have a choice. They can choose to go to a more peaceful state. And that gives them more emotional flexibility in their lives. So
I love that. Okay. Let me just flavor something here. Dogs make the right decision,
mm-hmm.
or make a good decision. Usually what that means is they decided to restrain their bad behavior and go into a calming position on their own, which would mm-hmm. be to sit down. I recommend offering gratitude
mm-hmm.
as the emotion for the positive reinforcer, not excitement, not, right. Blah, blah, blah. It's thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a totally different flavor. Also,
yes.
The reinforcer. And now you've got a dog that's programmed to make good decisions that you like.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I had to become a dog trainer because we had a prison program and we couldn't afford a dog trainer. So I had to become a dog trainer. So, and it was always like, good doggy, good doggy, yay.
That's
And so what you're offering is something very, very different. You're offering thank you. And I love that, because when I say thank you, I have to really feel it. First of all, because dogs know when we're lying. We can't fake it. Thank you. Yeah, they know the difference.
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo. This takes a little bit of...
That's wonderful. That's lovely. Yeah. Well, one of the things I also underlined in your book that I really love is your three versions of calm. You know, looking that the dog is looking to see, am I calm? Is my person calm? Is the environment calm? I love that. I love the simplicity of that and the recognition that maybe one of those three elements is missing in any given moment of intensity. So tell us more about that. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what you're speaking to is dogs have actions that they make called calming signals.
Mm-hmm.
And one example would be like yawning or you know, raising the paw. Okay, so when they make these, and they're making them all the time, like all the time, all day long, when they make these, we can just think, okay, is it because the dog is stressed out because something in the environment is going on, like outside of the house?
Mm-hmm.
Is the dog stressed out because I'm stressing them out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or is it other situational? So it's just a way to quickly diagnose what your dog's communicating to you, which is, I'm trying to calm myself down.
Yeah.
Either you're the problem or could you help me?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And by the way, it's like, if it's not one of these three things, it's one of these three things. So just like scan.
Yeah. Yeah. So just if there's something going on that clearly isn't working for both of you, take a look and see, is there something outside in the environment or inside in the environment? Maybe there's something else happening in the house that's disturbing, or is it something that we're doing that's unconscious that we may not realize that we're like, I know when I try not to do this, but you know, it happens, right? I'm running late and I'm rushing to get out the door, and that energy, none of my three dogs like that. They're all like, okay, what is it? Oh, let's get out of the way. Oh, she's rushing now, you know? And yeah. When I see them do that, I realize, oh, okay, I'm putting them through way too much. I need to slow down. Like, okay, I'm 3 minutes later. What's the difference?
It's the best at that level. It's like the best reflection for yourself.
Right. It's really, they really are our mirrors. They really will let us know if we're out of sync. And, but I love also what you're saying about having the dog make their own decisions. It's so wonderful when instead of the old version, which is, neither of us agree with, the old alpha version, which is make your dogs do something that you want, versus the notion where the dog chooses to do something because they understand and because it feels good. So tell us more about that decision-making process for dogs.
Okay, well, this is really cool. I say this in the book. Anytime I'm establishing an etiquette that I want them to offer me within my territory or around my food, those are the two things that are the providing and protecting. So it makes a lot of sense. Anytime that those come out, feelings will spike. And when spike, behaviors follow. Mm-hmm. And so the decision would be self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
And what that looks like is getting up and walking away, getting up and yawning, going for whatever it is, you know, like the sandwich I put down, but catching yourself and coming back. And so I'm locked in into that moment. I'm locked into all the moments because I want to be the best version of my dog's peaceful alpha that I can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And they're getting a good version of me as the day goes on, as my consciousness boots up and expands and I'm doing little activities to tease that out so I can be the best me. I'm meditating, I'm breath working, gratitude journaling, whatever the routine is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm keeping my dog calmer around things that would otherwise be upsetting or irritating for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ahead of that by giving them a gym class workout, by giving them a yoga class, hypnotic sequence, obedience training.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thoughtful in terms of how I'm teaching them to sit and how to down. And I'm taking obedience to a performance level, because when I interact with Bubba in the world, my ferocious looking butterfly, there's a way for me to have him behave that sets everybody at ease.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't need to, in a toxic alpha way, command him to go into, let's just say, a sit if he's scared or excited.
Uh-huh.
What I want to do is prepare him so that he's already had a mind-body workout.
Uh-huh.
Already had, you know, and then if he gets scared, starts, I can guide him a little bit away from what's scaring him, guide
right.
him in something new,
yeah.
Have him help him digest the moment of whatever's going on.
Fabulous. Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that you like threes. I like threes too. And you also have a section of the book where you're talking about the three experiences that for a dog, it can either be pleasant, unpleasant, or tranquil.
All right. Well, tranquility is like where nature's state is. That's like when I'm walking through the forest in the morning and three bunnies go across and they're sitting there. When I'm not there, the bunnies are tranquil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the flavor of emotion that nature provides for itself. It is, it's kind of like a safety feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a feeling of relaxation, of expansion, of
yes.
nourishing, of being rested or resting. It's the feeling of, for non-meditators or just like somebody who, it's the feeling of like brain not talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The feeling of being satisfied.
Yeah. Peaceful.
Peaceful. And mm-hmm. then in that state, all kinds of cool stuff emerges. You start to tune yeah. in and connect to
yes.
your environment.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I know that you talk about the different ways that we can communicate using the secret language of dogs in your book. And just we're just about out of time, but I just want to ask you one last question. Are you someone that believes in telepathic animal communication?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So yeah, we'll have to do a whole nother show just on that.
Sounds good. Yeah. We'll have to do that. We'll do a whole show.
I've been speaking with Jesse Sternberg, and he's the author of Enlightened Dog Training, How to Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects. And I know you have a new workbook out. Tell us about your new workbook.
Okay, so this workbook is on Amazon under okay. Jesse Sternberg. It's branded with the Peaceful Alpha up there, but it's the Dog Training Workbook for Humans.
All right, so this is everything that you need to know, you human, to make things better with your dog. So this has been really delightful. And how can people find you online?
Online, they can find me at my website, peacefulalpha.com.
Wonderful. Well, Jesse, thank you so much. Before we leave, is there any message maybe that you have from Bubba to give to our audience? Anything that Bubba would like to say before we go?
Where is he?
Oh, there he is. Hi, Bubba.
Actually, when you look at that, when you uh-huh. see that,
uh-huh.
That's how he is when I leave the house and come home. That's how he is when I bring the food out. That's what a normal, tranquil state is.
It's wonderful. Well, we can learn from dogs, and we can help them too.
Not like that with raccoons yet, but we'll
all right. Well, thank you, Jesse.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Thanks a lot.
We'll have you on again, because I know we've just scratched the surface here at the Human Animal Connection. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.